Joe DeFalco in the ring, raising up the future. Got the belts, got the sweat, endless life in a suplex. Future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams. Arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night. Mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the might. From the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night. Every step, every fight, honing skills tight.
Future stars, destined for the fame. In the rain, they'll carve their name. Blood, sweat, tears, the unending game.
Joe DeFalco's legacy, they proudly claim. Body slammers and high flyers, stars on the rise, taking flights off the ropes to the skies.
Yeah, it would help if I unmuted everything.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what's going on? My mic seems like it's working.
Hey, everybody. Matt Michaels here.
So enamored in the song over there.
Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, Stanley Cup season has come to Vegas right after WrestleMania season.
What? Who? Who cares?
Well, I mean, you know, it's, you know, you have
the Knicks are in the Knicks are in the finals. That's what's important. Cares about the hockey. The New York Knicks with a sweep get to the finals. Man, you know, and I saw all my boys from the 90s, John Starks with Ewing. The other day, man, it brought me back, and it's hard to believe that was like 30 years ago. I remember like sitting right. and watching and them always getting close but never being able to win the big one.
Right.
And now they got that shot again. Now that's what's most important. You know, follow Danny Limelight. He's big. He's big on the Knicks. You know, us transplanted New Yorkers, man, always hoping. You know, whether it's baseball, but not football. Like, I was never a Jet or Giant fan, so I didn't really care. But basketball, I was always a Net fan because I grew up in Long Island for a little bit when the Nets were popular. But you know, you always had something because the Knicks were the team, kind of like the Mets and Yankees. I was a Met fan in New York when I came out here. I became a New York fan, so I rooted for the Mets and the Yankees.
Yeah, sure.
You know, sure. We don't care about soccer. We don't care about hockey. You know, we like our relationship with the Silver Knights and stuff, but
right.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, then I guess. You might be working on something for this Sunday, which would be the High Octane that's going on the 31st at 5 p.m. at the FSW Arena, man. Qualifiers galore, right? This is
amazing. You know, we're making people earn it. When you have a roster as deep as ours, it's hard to be like, oh yeah, we're going to put him in. Man, there's a lot of great talent that's definitely deserving, you know. And the thing is, it isn't lose and you're done because, you know, we got the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal. So the majority of people who probably lose their qualifiers will get an opportunity to shine in the opening contest, you know. Yep. You know, the current NWA heavyweight champion is a Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal winner.
Yeah.
Silas Mason. I remember he threw out Chris Bay as the last two participants. So, you know, it definitely has, you know, some intrigue on where, people are going to be positioned. You know, Nick Zander, it's almost 3 years since his last singles match in FSW. So he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he's taking on Bodie, who Nick came back for No Escape and was in that scramble cage match, Escape the Cage. So, you know, he's got his eyes sights on, you know, making his legacy, because, you know, he did good things in FSW for a good period of time, and then things just happened and things right. didn't work out. And, you know, we moved on, he moved on, and then now, you know, the old never say never, you know.
Right.
When things, you know, things make sense. So you do it.
And, you know, that's one of the qualifiers here, Bodie and Nick, which, you know, when they were in the ring together in the cage, that was pretty, you know, there were some glimmers there of what this match can be. So that should be fairly entertaining and a big match for both of them, to be honest, because, you know, if Bodie, you know, wins the cage match, but, you know, if he loses this match to Nick, like, you know, is that a step back? And for Nick, is that a step back? Here's his first singles match back in 3 years. So it's like both of them have a lot to lose.
Yeah, as does every single person that we're putting in these qualifiers. Luke Curtis, who's been on a roll, has had great momentum, taking on the former No Limits champion, who we haven't really seen much of a lot in the past, say, 6 months, Dante King. So this is a big match for both guys. Luke Curtis, you know, is somebody that we look at as a potential champion in FSW.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, and Dante King, you know, he had a good run as the No Limits champion.
Yeah. Oh, he had a great run. You know, and I think there's a lot of big potential to still be tapped into, you know, for both guys. But, you know, Dante, it got very quiet after his championship run. And I think he needs to come back with a lot of, you know, just showing that it's no fluke. And, you know, Dante's got all the potential in the world. So that is a big one for both of those guys as well. And then, I mean, Watson getting that shot against Bryce Saturn. Again, to you guys, it's amazing how far both of these guys have come. If you had two of the top guys in terms of where they were, let's say 3 to 4 years ago to where they are now, you can't beat Watson and Saturn.
Well, and you got a couple of similar stories. The fact is Watson, part of the faction, tag teams with Fresco, becomes a tag team champion. Bryce Saturn has some tremendous singles matches, but he's also kind of doing some tag stuff with Damian Desire, and they become right. tag team champions, and right. they had a good run. You know, they beat they didn't have the belts for like a year or two, but they had the belts, but they were constantly defending, and they were just in a cycle of taking on some of FSW's best tag teams, and they did beat the Reunited Unguided. Yeah, you know, they did beat the Mariachis at one point, who are the current champions. You know, they did some great things. But Bryce Saturn, in his heart, was more of a singles wrestler. And we saw him with Ice Williams at Future Shock have a great match. I saw him with Matt Vandegrift. Saw him with Bodie. Saw him in that four-way at the Future Legend Women's Tournament, where we had the match for the Future Legend Championship. and he has done good things. We saw him at the Mecca. You know, he is a guy that I look at as a future champion in FSW. Now, Watson probably is a guy who sacrificed by being in the faction to where he was kind of utilized as a weapon and maybe not doing exactly what he would have preferred to do. You know, not saying that him and Fresco don't get along. They're all over the place. They wrestle as a tag. But Watson was in a good place as a singles guy. And now both of them get an opportunity, and whoever wins that match, you know, they can easily be considered a favorite. You know, we got and then the backstory of the MK Army with Bryce Saturn and Watson, as right. well as with Ice Williams and Koa.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. MK will be there, and you don't know what shenanigans could happen. You know, Ice Williams is a former No Limits champion. He's a former heavyweight champion. He's definitely the favorite against Koa. But, you know, Koa's no slouch. He's the PCW champion
right.
in Arizona. And, oh, he just lost it to Jimmy House. And he held that belt for a long time. And he beat some, you know, big-time players. And Koa, he's kind of like that under-the-radar guy, you know, where he kind of came in from the beginning and he was always that forgotten guy. But he could be one of the most steady. Like, you know, he's that calming presence. To where, okay, you got Koa there, you know, things might be all right for MK. So that is definitely an interesting matchup. And then just recently, you know, we needed to add, you know, a match and a couple of players, Dave Mazzani, as well as Brett the Threat and Braxton, you know, and a fourth mystery opponent. So Brett the Threat, I believe, was in last year's Cash in the Case. I know Braxton has been a winner and cashed in the case. And you
is this Dave's first I think it's his first one for the Cash in the Case, all right?
Because he was so part-time that usually he'd show up at the anniversary and he'd be strictly going toward the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal.
Yeah.
But him and Brett the Threat have a huge, you know, back and forth. They've wrestled at Natural Born Killers. They've gotten in the ring, but it's been a while. And Brett has bested Dave Mazzani. And you can look at it two ways, you know. Dave is a part-time guy, or you could say, hey, he's the way more experienced guy, and Brett the Threat beat him at 1.2. So they've gone back and forth. Now Dave is fully committed, and Brett the Threat is. So that's the first time in a couple of years we're going to get them, as well as Braxton. And then the question becomes, who's the fourth guy in that match? Right. So, you know, and then the final spot's going to happen at Future Shock the week after. We're going to do a scramble match with some of the younger guys, and we're going to offer an opportunity there. So that's going to be solid. But then we got a couple of tag matches. Number one, we got Mariachi Montaña, and then we have this match with Live Danger taking on Young Money and the Chingon Cartel. Chingon Cartel got put together on Future Shock, and they really shined. They had an opportunity at the HyperX against Mariachis, came up a little short, but they've been very impressive. Young Money gets better and better every time we see him.
Yeah.
And Live Danger, you know, for people who don't know who they are, hey, they had a big win against Pretty City Express.
Yeah. such a big win that Devin Reno is going away.
you know? So it's definitely, you know, three teams on the rise.
Yeah.
So needless to say, you know, this is a big match because the winner of this match could be in line, but it would be crazy to see Young Money if they win, beat Duke and Juicy if they won. Oof. I don't know if I'd want to be Young Money in that match. But I definitely would love to see Live Danger versus Duke and Juicy.
Sure.
Because they are two strong dudes. Man, the roof would come off if they double body slam Duke and Juicy. You know, same with the Mariachis when we look forward to that match. Yeah. You know, and hopefully the Mariachis win because that match has already been signed for them to wrestle Duke and Juicy. But they were like, hey, we're available. We want to wrestle. So, you know, we could have easily made it a non-title match, but if you beat the tag champs, you deserve the titles.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, which is awesome. Again, the Mariachis, too. It just shows how much they, you know, want to compete. I mean, you got to give it to these guys for, you know, how green as they were when they came in. They were more actual Mariachis than wrestlers. Now it's like they're wrestlers and the gimmick just happens to be something that they professionally have done. It's amazing. These guys are, you know, on that rise, man.
Yeah. So, you know, and like I said, you know, I got a message again from Danny Limelight yesterday. Oh, so are you looking to bring in 5150? I'm like, dude, I'd love to bring you guys in. We got so much going on. To, you know, right now, we need to get past the anniversary show. Then we can discuss it, you know, because they are a top-tier tag team. There's no doubt about it. But where do they fit when certain things have already been set? You know, and, you know, we got Tito and Che on the horizon. We've talked about a Gods of War, you know. That's why I've also talked about maybe one of the upcoming shows at HyperX, a one-night tag team tournament with the Mariachis in it. And if they happen to lose in any of the rounds, they lose the titles.
You know, and I mean, could you actually do if you did a tag tournament, would you consider doing something maybe even with a like kind of like a tag team cup, you know, something that, you know, isn't necessarily a belt, but maybe once a year, you know, almost like you get your name engraved on the cup,
The Hart Foundation Memorial Tournament.
I don't know if Brett would be down for the idea of a memorial.
You know what I mean, though. But yeah. Something like that. You know, it's crazy. It was years ago when we worked with Dino Danelli. he had a friend that many years ago they were looking to start something. I hate to say, I forgot his name. It'll come to me for sure. But they were always big in for the CAC stuff. And they worked together at the Mirage and they created belts. And one of the belts they created was the tag team belts, but it was basically, it was like the Fabulous Freebirds Tag Team Championship or something like that. And Donnie was his name. And Donnie passed a couple of years ago. And I know the belt that was still there, you know, with the family, I guess, but it's probably been 10, 15 years that it was probably before FSW. It might've been 20 years ago that they showed me these belts that nothing ever came of them, but it might be cool to incorporate that in some way and do a tournament because we've talked about, you know, you want to talk about eight teams. You know, one night you can't really do more than eight teams because that's already seven matches. But it's like Well, taking a look at the tag teams, we got the Mariachis, we got Live Danger, we got the Faction, we got Duke and Juicy, we got Young Money, we got the Chingon Cartel. Then we got Che and Tito, and we got, you know, 5150, and we'd have the Gods of War. You know, and who's to say the old Suburban Commandos, now the Stoner Brothers. You know, there's Lucas Riley and Dominic Kubrick on the West Coast, yeah. Santino guys that are really good. And yep. there's just a lot of solid tag teams that, yeah. hey, you know, shit, our greatness and tenacious, for example.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got the young teams, you got the established teams. You know, yeah. who's to say, you know, Clutch and Sugar Brown didn't get together for one sure. more run at something. You know what I mean? Because everybody would be excited about it.
Yeah.
But, and again, I've always been a fan of tag team wrestling. So, you know, a lot of people aren't. And why, I don't know. But I grew up, you know, Hart Foundation were big deal. Man, that was my favorite team. And, you know, even when I started watching the NWA, when the Midnight Express, the Stan Lane, Bobby Eaton version was top notch. Like, man, I hated Condrey and Randy Rose. And I remember when Heyman brought him in for the NWA stuff.
Right.
And I hated like the Rock and Roll Express and the Fantastics and a lot of those teams. But tag team wrestling was always, you know, a super cool thing for me. So I've always prided myself because, like I said, a lot of the tag teams that you saw in FSW were never tag teams. They were two guys that were looking to train, you know. Right. And I'm proud of the fact that I put Royce and Jarrell together. I put Hammerstone and Graves together. I put Tito and Che together. You know what I mean? I put the Suavecitos together.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's always been something I've been prideful for, but it's also was a way for younger guys that, hey, I don't have two spots on a show, but I could try out this tag team. It's crazy to think that Joe put together Freddie and Enrique Calderon, who would basically drive up together. Never really worked together at all. Same thing with Hammerstone and Graves. Graves worked with some other guy, Julian, I remember back in the day. And the idea, you know, Hammerstone already had the hammer and Graves, and then he got the shield and the Gods of War fit. Like, he looked like the Gladiator dude, and this guy looked like Thor. Like, to me, it writes itself, but nobody ever thought of it, of putting them together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and it's like, but hey, then there's other teams. Like, why couldn't Jay Vidal and his BFF Bateman be a tag, especially for a tournament?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that's always on the back burner of, you know, potential show. You know, is it a, hey, we can do two nights at the HyperX, and we can make it a two-night tournament. Discount prices. So, hey, instead of $45 for front row, hey, spend $70 and you get both nights or whatever it is. Because we have a good working relationship with them that it isn't like, oh, my God, how much money do we got to pay to rent the facility for two nights?
Yeah. Yeah.
So tournaments become a major player.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a great point. Very good point.
You know, and it's crazy because we got a big show in 3 days, and then we got the anniversary, and it's like, oh shit, the anniversary is only 3 weeks away, and we got a motor for that. Yeah, we got the flyer up. We got Jay Vidal versus G Sharp is confirmed. We have Mariachis win, lose, or draw, they will be wrestling Duke and Juicy.
Right.
If they win on Sunday, the tag team titles will be on the line. We have a cash in the case ladder match where you're going to see almost all the participants after Sunday. We got the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal where you're going to see a lot of the people who lose on Sunday in that match. So that's already four matches. And then I can also announce, because the FSW Women's Champion, either one, because we're going to have the match on Sunday, Brittany Brooks versus Zamaya, neither one of them is going to be available to us because they have been booked elsewhere on June 20th. Wow. But what we're going to do is, with our relationship with Title Match Network, as we saw when they did a show at the Mecca weekend and the Full Tilt, Jasmine Allure, who's their women's champion,
right,
will defend the Title Match Network women's championship at the anniversary show.
Wow.
And she will be taking on our own WWE ID wrestler, the former Fallen Gray, now known as Veronica Haven. So wow, that match is set. So we got five matches already set, not counting our No Limits champion, our heavyweight champion, our Nevada State champion. So that's probably going to fill out the card. That's eight matches. And then the pre-show, we are going to crown the Future Shock champion. And if you've seen the belt, looking good.
Yeah.
We even have it on the leather now, and they're working that. So that should be ready very – hopefully it's going to be ready for June 6th to display at the Future Shock event.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. It's such a cool little design. I love that. It looks, you know –
yeah, I wanted the crazy colors of like what the flyer looked like of the design.
Yeah.
So we tweaked it a little bit. And then the guy, Ryan Stokes, who obviously does a lot of work, because I just saw him post about the AEW belt that he's been working on.
Yeah. Which is really cool. That's so cool.
So, yeah, maybe, okay, maybe we can make a replica belt for all the losers from Future Shock who don't get to win the belt.
Man, if you could, hey, if you could make a toy replica, you could, for kids classes, make that the kids class championship.
It could be.
Which would be fun.
Kind of like, what is it? I watched the Gordon Ramsay show. It's like something junior, isn't it? Like
Master Chef Junior. Yeah.
Master Chef Junior. There you go. Yeah. Future Shock Junior.
Yep. Yeah, that would be that would be fun, man. How you would pack the place.
Oh, for sure.
That would be so
fun. Know, and then maybe the upgrade is kind of like, you know, when TNA used to do where you turned in the X Division belt for a shot at the title.
Right.
You know, when the next 15-year-old Bodie is ready,
right,
he cashes in the Future Shock Junior belt for a shot at the Future Shock regular belt.
Well, a couple it's funny, Master Chef Junior, a couple of the, you know, kids who were on that show have popped up now on MasterChef competing in the regular competition.
Of course, because they saw that our junior class, that the people stepped up. Gordon Ramsay saw it because, you know, obviously he's based in Vegas.
Right.
He must have seen an FSW show and said, hey, that's a good idea to take the kids and then bump them up.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I'm able to help.
Yeah. I mean, you know, generating money for others.
And all the time. That goes without saying.
Yeah. All right. Before we get back to the card and kind of talk to this news, you posted for many years, it's always been a goal to do a show at Nellis Air Force Base. We talked on and off with different people, but nothing ever became of it. After all these years, it looks like we'll be doing a special event called Liberty Mayhem, celebrating the nation's 250th anniversary on July 2nd. The live event will be for all the troops and hopefully their families inside a hangar at Nellis. hoping we'll get some bells and whistles, maybe Thunderbirds flying over, or Bodhi parachuting into the ring. We were hoping the air show live, free of charge on YouTube, still putting things together, but this is top of the bucket list thing for me. How did this come about, man? Because that's pretty damn impressive.
Well, it's crazy. Over the years, everybody says, oh, I got this, I got somebody. Hey, what about doing a show there? And it's like, yeah, that'd be great. You know, it's like, A, we're so close. You know, we did stuff at the Silver Nugget. It was there, you know. And then we got C4, who is on the Air Force Base. You know, he trains with FSW, he now wrestles. He talked to some people again after that, the initial stuff over the years. Oh, I think we can do something, and nothing. Nothing ever happened. And then all of a sudden I get hit up by this guy, Marquise. He hits me up, and, you know, just like the people who are always going to do something for FSW, and I'm going to get you this, and we got sponsors, and we're going to help you out. And most of the time, nothing comes to fruition. It's always just a lot of talk. And all of a sudden, within a week or two, hey, I'm making moves, I'm doing this stuff. And it's like, okay, yeah, let me know. You know, we're definitely interested, blah, blah, blah. And it looks like next week, I believe June 4th or 5th, I'm supposed to head over there, and we're going to, you know, he's going to show me what's going to be there and what we're going to be able to do. And again, you know, I wrote, it looks like, I'm told it's a done deal, but I've also learned in this business, it's like, I need that contract signed that says it's a done deal. You know what I mean? Because right. I'm talking to somebody who's putting this deal together, but he still needs the higher ups to sign off on everything. So I provided an invoice. I had to get the information, because anybody who's going to step on the base from FSW, I need their full name. I need their date of birth. I need their social security number.
Yep.
And I need their driver's license number or ID number. So, you know, don't know really how it works. If there's a limit, you know, between crew and ring crew and production crew and wrestlers, you know, it's probably going to be at least 50 people we need to get on site.
Yeah. And it probably won't be a limit as much as just everyone has to pass that background check and has to.
Which again, I got no issues with. And Rocky has a licensed bonded security company in town. So we're fine. Right. Yeah. You know, I doubt my few parking tickets is going to affect anything. So I'm not worried about that. It's just trying to get everybody to do it. It's like, hey, the date's the 31st. I posted the thing. Hey, you're going to be on the show. I need your info. And everybody's slow to do it. And it's like, come on, guys, we got to get this done, because before you know it, we're only about 4.5 weeks away from that. So I'm just not wanting to say, hey, we're doing a show July 2nd. I want to make sure 120% that it's all good and getting all the paperwork, because, you know, I get eager, I get excited, you jump the gun, and then all of a sudden, you know, we swore we were doing an anniversary show at Lee's Family Forum until the numbers skyrocketed. Like, dude, this is what you said. I'm ready to go. We announcing it. And now it's like, oh, yeah, well, there's the cost for the off-duty police officers and the cost for security. And it's like, okay, well, you just jumped it like another $10,000, $12,000. Like, we can't ring in 25 grand and still owe you money. I'm not that excited about doing a show that I'm going to lose 8,000 on it. You know what I mean? Right. So I'm trying to be a little more hesitant to, you know, putting it all out there. But yeah, for sure, I need to message people and be like, guys, I need your info. You know, ring crew guys, I need your info. Yeah, so
absolutely.
But, but we're looking forward to it, and it should be a big deal. Inside a hangar should be super cool. It's the 4th of July weekend. It's the 250th anniversary. It's like, you know, I have great memories of the bicentennial 1996.
Right.
Because back in the day, you know, my dad worked at Pepsi Cola. And Pepsi Cola in New York, the building was right off the Hudson River. So I remember, like, vividly. So 1976, shit, I'm 11 years old. And yeah. I remember he drives me to the front gate, but I have to get out of the car. And he was like, hide behind the car as he drives in, because it was the workplace. So he had to go through the thing, but I couldn't be in the car. It was like really weird for me at 11, not knowing. But what my father was doing was he was bringing me because he wanted to see, because they had a big thing on the Hudson River and there was all the boats. And they had this big celebration and the fireworks. And I remember being on the roof of Pepsi Cola.
Nice.
And that was a great memory of 11 years old with my dad hanging out on the roof, watching all these boats going off and having having the thing, because the bicentennial, the 200th anniversary, was probably the first real celebration, because I know they didn't do it in 1926. And they didn't do it in 1876. So this was like, wow, this was a moment. And now it's like, oh, shit, 50 years later. Now I'll be almost 61 years old. And it's like, wow, this is a childhood memory. And now how cool would it be to be on the base? And maybe there's the Air Force jets and the Thunderbirds. And, you know, because it isn't like just doing a show May 3rd for the troops. This is a celebration of the 250th anniversary. There might be a whole shit bunch of things going on that weekend there, because it's going to be a Thursday on the July 2nd. So it's like, hey, maybe that's the big celebration. That'll be cool. And it's like, wow, we could be a part of that. You know, you want to get the cameras out, you know, and you know, everybody's interested, like mariachis yesterday. Hey, and I don't know if it's too late. Bro, if you're my tag team champions on July 2nd, you're definitely going to be there. So you better keep the belt. You know what I mean? It's like, obviously, most of our champions will be there. C4, the Air Force guy, will be there. The first responders, Dave Mazzani, somehow will be there. We got Brett the Threat. He's an Army guy. In my mind, we're penciling the Army guy versus the Air Force guy. Yeah. Like, but who's to say it ain't Brett the Threat and one of his goons against the first responders?
Sure.
With their, you know, all-American, their flag, basically gear. Like, you know, that's going to be a big moment. It's like when I go down there, you know, there's got to be a major general or a four-star or five-star general that wouldn't mind getting physical in the ring. You know what I mean? It's like, how crazy would the troops go if one of their generals, you know, and who doesn't want to punch Brett the Threat in the face? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I might be able to get to somebody to give me money as a sponsor to punch Brett the Threat in the face.
I think you know, now that you said that, I think you could probably like set up a booth at the HyperX and fans can pay.
Yeah, we wanted to do that one time. It was like at Silver Nugget, we were talking about it, putting like a dunk tank.
Yeah, exactly. A chop booth where you get to chop him across the chest.
Yeah, you know, Jay Vidal would have a good line now.
Yeah. Oh, there's a tag team for you. Brett the Threat and Jay Vidal. There's some heat. That's natural heat right there. But that's what a great idea. What a great concept. What a great visual you described as Bodhi parachuting in.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh man. Oh, that's too much. I love it. But yeah, great thing. And what a great idea for giving the troops something special. That'd be a wonderful thing. All right. So back to Sunday, man. Again, 5 o'clock at the FSW Arena. We'll be on the Title Match Network, of course. Brittany and Zamaya. Zamaya's getting that chance now to face Brittany without MK in the corner. It's remarkable because Zamaya, I believe, just won a title in Arizona, right?
No, I think she's been a champ for a while there.
For a while, yeah.
She might have won the one in New Mexico.
Yeah.
I thought she's been doing a lot with that company, Duke City.
Yeah, I thought she just won something, another title, which or got some kind of opportunity, which, it's just amazing to see where both of them have, gone over the last year. It's, in Zamaya, especially if you think back about two or so years ago, it's like watching a different wrestler. She really has learned her craft. And, Brittany, of course, impresses every time she goes out there and is learning more and more. Down the road, I think this, this match kind of becomes a little more important because I would assume that there is a former WWE wrestler who was FSW Women's Champion who probably would have something to say to either or in terms of if they had the title when Zoe comes to be a free agent on the market in July.
Well, yeah, there's no reason that we can't announce it, so we might as well announce it. On July 25th, Zoe Serrano will be making her return to FSW. And, we are very excited. I met and talked with her about a week and a half ago. And obviously, the Zoe Serrano rate is a little different than the Lacey Ryan rate. But we knew that. And then, we're going to announce a big weekend on that July 25th. We're going to have her do a seminar. Nice. Probably that day. So women from Arizona as well as men, anybody who wants to learn, you know what I mean? And we're also going to do a meet and greet. So July 25th. And there's also talk. We're in the plans of hopefully maybe that weekend, the 24th or the 26th, which is my birthday, to do a Hall of Fame weekend out of it, because we're in a position in July to possibly induct the three biggest homegrown FSW stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that would be wonderful, man.
Having a Hall of Fame where we induct Chris Bay, Killer Cross, and Zoe, I think that would be a super cool thing, because in the past, the Hall of Fame's always been, it's been awesome. And everybody's loved it, but to see three people that came under our wing who've had such huge success. And there might not be another time to put all three in this building at the same time because of possible contractual obligations elsewhere.
Right. Absolutely.
Because, Seth is another guy, and obviously he's running strong in WWE. But the crazy thing is, it's like, when Seth was gone, he's been gone. When Zoe was gone, she's been gone. So Cross is a no-brainer, because the first time he got released, first show he did, FSW. Then first WrestleMania from not being there. The yep. only shows he worked was FSW. So he's FSW loyal, no doubt about it. Plus, yeah. we had him obviously at Luck of the Draw last year when right. he was first eligible to come in.
Yeah.
Where again, it was kind of one of his first shows that he was able to do.
And didn't Kevin start off in the kids' class?
No, he did not, but he did start at Future Shock.
Right. Yep.
You know, as did Sepha. I think he beat up Spider at Future Shock. That might have been his first match.
That's amazing.
And then I know he did stuff with the faction. But, yeah, so we're really hoping for a major event in July. I've already put the 24th or 26th on hold. You know, yep. Kevin's been busy winning titles in Australia. So he's the only one who hasn't been spoken to about it. But he has been spoken to about it in the past, just not a firm date or anything.
Yeah.
So, sure. And again, you got to also understand that, you know, Zoe's first day that she can appear in a match is July 24th. I'm not trying to hold her back since we have her the 25th. You know what I mean? It's like she is the early days is when you earn the biggest money. And you would think there's somebody out there who may want to book her for the first event that Zoe Serrano has after her release. Yeah. So that's why it's possible maybe we do the Hall of Fame ceremony that night or the next day. So it's just trying to put that all together. You know, if she's willing to give us the 24th to do that, that would be awesome. But again, not that she's not going to make money the weekend after or the weekend after, but right. you know, I appreciate people who are doing things for us, and that would be big time for her to give up a booking on her first day available. So I want to make sure that, you know, if it's going to happen, we can adjust.
Right.
It's my job to adjust to make good for her. Because the last thing we want is her to wrestle on Saturday, but Friday she has to mail in a promo video for it. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, having Tom induct her would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he still owes me that sushi if you're listening, Tom. You know, we still got that sushi coming.
I think Tom owes a bunch of us some sushi nights because
there you go. But yeah, so there's you know it should be an exciting summer,
yeah.
You know ahead because now we also have you know we have the anniversary June 20th, we have July 25th, and then August 22nd we will have Survival of the Fittest. And then September and October, we have Visions of Grandeur. And then November would be Luck of the Draw, which features the Rumble, where the yep. winner of the Rumble gets the shot at the heavyweight champion. December, we can do a big show. It would most likely, it could be a season's beating show, or it could be a big, you know, Christmas charity extravaganza. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because generally that's a show where we do a toy drive and it'd be even cooler to do the toy drive at the HyperX. So
yeah. Oh, for sure.
So yeah. So we're trying to plan out everything going forward, you know, whether it's a monster joint show with other companies in September or October, that's also on the horizon and on the agenda of, you know, figuring everything out, man. It's like we want there to be a reason for you to say, hey, you know what? Who cares if it's three shows in 3 months for FSW? These shows are worth coming to and right. us spending our hard-earned money on these FSW events. So,
yeah, Yeah, and definitely one of the biggest reasons to come out and see High Octane on Sunday is all these qualifiers. Again, you got Bryce Saturn versus Watson. You got BYP versus Nick Xander, Dante King, Luke Curtis, Kevin Koa, Ice Williams, and Mazzani, Braxton, Brett the Threat, and a mystery opponent, all qualifiers for the Cash in the Case match. And then, of course, the Mariachis in tag team action, defending the titles, and of this awesome three-way of Young Money.
And we didn't even mention the main event, did we?
No.
We talked about it, about Brittany and Zamaya, but yeah, that is the main event, the FSW Women's Championship.
Yeah. Which, you know,
Zamaya, I get, you know, it maybe seems like she's upgraded by getting rid of MK.
Well, isn't anyone?
Well, not according to
MK.
To MK and certain others who have had huge success with MK by their side, you know. He did take Transcendence and Juicy and Toa to the tag titles in the past, and Duke to the Nevada State Championship. So
now was that him or was it them? And I think that's the question that we always ask in pro wrestling after we look at the managers and go, Did the managers ride the coattails of these guys? I mean,
I think they helped in some way. Right. You know, MK has done some shady things that have helped benefit his people. We've seen it. And MK's not one to take the brunt of going through that door to save his client. You know, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And obviously, him and Zamaya didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of breakups in this world.
Right. Right. But pro wrestling is the only wonderful place where you can see that breakup happen in a ring.
That's right. You know, I got to hit up your boy Glenn King, see if he's coming to see Zamaya and Brittany.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if Glenn is.
I got to make him aware. He doesn't like pay attention to everything.
No, he's way too busy to pay attention, man. It's crazy. But also, he's got that new camper, so sometimes he's taking trips on the weekend out to see nature, man. Which. Wow. Yeah, which is
great. There's nothing he likes better than taking pictures of women. So, you know.
Well, I think there's a couple things he probably does like better.
Well, yeah. I guess taking pictures of women is a little lower on the scale.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But so, it's better than having a drink with Red Cup. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Either way, those pictures, either if it's the girls or Red Cup, there's no shirt on. So,
well, you know,
I think Red Cup has probably taken more topless pictures than most people in his life. Yeah. So High Octane.
this Sunday, 5 p.m.
Yeah, you know, again, solid card. Everything looks great. A lot of stuff, again, you know, leading up to the anniversary show. Keep that in mind. Again, Saturday, June 20th, 7 p.m. start at the HyperX at the Luxor. And that, again, that day, we'll be crowning the new Future Shock champion. You know, just a lot going on. Final thoughts before we... close it out for this week.
Well, you know, we got a lot going on. We got a big show. It's the first FSW like higher end show other than Future Shock at the arena in a few months. And I think we've, you know, got some cool things happening. Nick Xander's returning, Dante King. There might be some surprises. Rumor is the FSW heavyweight champion will be on hand. So we'll see what's going on. You know, we're setting everything up for the anniversary show, which is by far generally the number one show of the year. Yeah. In FSW. Obviously, it's going to be hard to beat the Mecca 11, but the anniversary is a show with all our family and friends that come out to. Mecca 11, as great as it was a majority of out-of-towners. So, yeah. You know, this is one where everybody comes together for this special event. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's exciting. Again, you know, you gotta just kind of pinch yourself sometimes if you look at all the talent that is, you know, fluxing into FSW right now. It's amazing. And the fact that you get to see, you know, these guys go out there and seriously bust their asses. It's, you know, it's something that is very special and, you know, can't say enough about the way that everyone is really stepping up their game and competing. And that goes, you know, again, we get it overlooked a lot of times, but you know, that goes for the crew too. And, you know, and guys like, Remy and Cody and Shug, you know, a lot of times those guys don't get enough credit for what, you know, is going on, behind the scenes. So, you know,
yeah, you know, we got some, good amount of new students. We got some transplants that we've seen. The Jackpot J-Rock kid, pretty good out of Houston. And, yep. You know, there's always people coming in just this week. No training whatsoever. She goes by D, and she is a Division I ex-softball player from Cal Berkeley. And wow. Somehow she talked with Chris Bay. And she's trying out wrestling. She's never done it before. Sure. And but she's very athletic, very passionate. And she basically signed up for the week. She came down with her mom, and she's from Sacramento. And if she decides this is something she wants to move forward with in her athletic career, we might have another full-time woman. Ready to roll soon. So it's, yeah. You know, she's very athletic. I saw her yesterday and see her today. And, you know, she didn't get to do a lot running the ropes, you know, doing the rolls, yeah. You know, taking it slow, but hopefully, you know, she'll get the bug and, yeah. And choose to move down here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's fantastic to hear. So, and again, you know, Chris Bay, man. You just can't say enough about Chris. It's, I mean, man.
Yeah, you know, he's been one of the in the forefronts, you know, of you know, really pushing FSW to people that really weren't aware of it, and. You know, whether it was the TNA people, and that's why we have such a good reputation for producing talent.
Yeah.
You know, and he's jumped on board, and take a look at him, man. Man, he pre-injury, he's looking fantastic. I saw him for the, you know, with like basically, you know, cut off shirt. And I was like, wow, like for a while he was very, very, very thin after the accident, of course, you know, but now it's like looking like Shogun. It's like these guys, unreal. Man, they're really putting in the work. And as we said, you know, never say never, you know, I just saw the picture of Chris with CM Punk and, yeah. You know, Chris is pushing it to being, you know, it is a great story, but he wants it to be the greatest story ever told.
Yeah.
You know, yep. And, you know, more power to him, because, you know, it's easy to get discouraged in life over a lot of different things. And he had it in the palm of his hands on right. the last possible day that he was even going to wrestle for that company, and probably didn't think he was going to wrestle that night.
Yeah.
And like that, his life changed.
Yep.
And, you know, it would be nothing. It would be unbelievable, you know, to have Chris Bay. And I always joke about, hey, you know, him and Rey Mysterio but obviously if Chris Bay ever has a match again, it is going to be in the biggest platform, yeah. you know, possible. So, yeah. you know, but he's been doing a great job. You know, he trains generally on Mondays. So if you're yep. looking to become a pro wrestler, you know, you're not going to find a more passionate individual
yeah.
that, you know, after what happened, a lot of people would have went the opposite direction and ran away from any wrestling related yeah. anything. And he's really eagerly jumped right back into the fray. So
yeah,
can't say enough about him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And current commissioner. So, you know,
well, there you go. Makes things happen. And he wants to be a part of it. You know, a lot of yeah. people, like to me, I'm like, man, I don't know if I'd want to be around that.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, but you know, he works with Brittany all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a little frustrated because, you know, not doing it exactly how he thinks it should be done. But, you know, Fallon's always there.
Yep.
You know. And whenever Brooke Havoc can make it to Vegas, she'll come in to train with Chris and she'll be around yep. for a few days. So he's definitely, you know, an MVP for us. You know, we talk about our all-star staff. It is true. You yeah. know, you're not going to get a better combination of people, you know. And you got a bunch of people who know what they're doing and are genuinely looking to make you better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a great place to end it for this week. Again, catch High Octane this Sunday, 5 p.m. FSW Arena and Title Match Network. Until next time, everybody, happy wrestling.